3.
So, this is why you really wanted to stay till morning, Master.
Queenie, the Ant Queen I'd killed and resurrected from the void to serve me for all eternity, smiled at me as I dug into the delicious stack of pancakes that Eliphili had prepared.
You know, there are probably some places where these are very rare. They might be able to make us a nice trade for something.
You really think so? I asked around a mouthful of pancake. I hadn't considered that.
I think so, Master.
Queenie nodded fervently.
They are very delicious, and as someone who enjoys the sweets of the bazaar very much, I believe these would do well there, because I have never had anything like them.
I puzzled over the idea. Maybe we should talk to Jane about it. Jane was the slime girl who ran the Adventurers Guild and was, for all intents and purposes, our liaison to the trading world we called the Bazaar. What do you think, Eliphili?
I think that would be a great idea, Garrett.
The Amorphi Princess of Day smiled at me.
And I know you're not just suggesting it because you have a stake in all our dealings with the Bazaar.
She winked at me.
You're one of the good ones.
I hadn't even considered that, actually, I responded as I finished another pancake. But these things are good, and if Queenie says they have nothing like them, you might be able to build a nice little business until we figure out how to mine the riches beneath your ocean. I sighed. Even after removing the dungeon core from the planet, the waters were still teeming with monsters, and it would likely take a few generations before that situation resolved itself.
If you think it is a good idea, I will contact Jane later today.
Zamia looked up at me and smirked.
After all, if we have a way to bring in additional revenue, we should take it.
I agree, I said, as I decided one more pancake would definitely fit in my stomach. Say, Jody, any updates on the mining problem?
No.
Jody had a massive stack of pancakes piled high in front of her and wore dark glasses over her eyes. She was also slumped against the wall with her face in her hands. How we doing, Jody? I asked the very hungover red-headed catgirl scientist slash rockstar.
Preparing to solve all of our mining problems.
She half-heartedly whispered back at me. Then she audibly groaned. Right, I laughed. So we get back to the halls of research, figure out a way to mine that deep-as-hell treasure trove, and then continue to build up our army to stop the world-devouring, grade-A asshole, Zaxxas?
It sounds like a perfect plan, Master,
Queenie said, as she put her hand on my shoulder. She had a way of making me feel accepted and comfortable, certainly in a way that I had never imagined when we'd first met in the training dungeon, and she'd tried to drive a dagger through my chest.
When are you going to come back?
Zamia inquired with just a hint of concern.
Don't do anything to get hurt. The Amorphi still require your assistance.
Her mischievous eyes met mine then.
I still require your assistance.
Ah, when he has me around him, he won't get hurt. Right, my liege? Gobta, the hobgoblin king I'd also killed and resurrected as my eternal servant, smacked me on the back. Right. I grinned at him before turning back to Zamia. We will be back the moment we figure out a way to mine the ore beneath the ocean effectively, if not sooner, I sighed. That's why we have to go back, so our resident genius can think. I gestured at Jody, who was busy filling her face, very messily, I might add, with pancakes. Because,
In her own words, she's the best engineer in the universe, even when she's drunk. I cupped my hand beside my mouth before lowering my voice conspiratorially. But between you, me, and the cat, I think she's better when she's sober.
I will stab you with my fork,
Jody mewled at me before putting her head down.
I can't help it if the drinks here are so good. You don't even feel like you're drinking, and the next thing you know, everyone looks like whales in tutus.
Right. Which is why we need to get back. I paused and glanced around at my friends. Plus, it'll be nice to take a second. We've still got a lot of shit to do if we want to defeat Zaxus.
And you should go do it,
Eliphili said, as she came and put a care package full of pancakes on the table in front of me.
We won't keep you any longer.
Zamia looked at her sister, Eliphili.
Actually, there is one more thing we wouldn't mind showing you before you go.
Oh? I asked, as I looked at the pair who seemed to be doing some sort of silent sister communication thing. The princesses then turned their attention to me and nodded.
Follow us, they said in unison. I'm going to sit this one out.
Jody looked over us.
Oh, and I will need Hudson.
Which one? I asked her. Gobta's or mine? Hudson was the high priest of the Amorphi, who was now also my servant because, well, you know the drill. The thing was, my power sort of recreated the person out of aura, and Gobta could reanimate a zombie. So in this particular instance, there were actually two Hudsons.
Yours, not Gobta's minion,
she responded with a wave of her hand.
Gobta's one is busy doing boring town-building stuff.
On that note, Gobta said as he looked at me, if you don't mind, I'd like to do some final training with my Hudson before we leave.
He smacked his chest.
He is the founding member of the G-Unit, after all, and is the one we will leave behind to protect this place while we're gone. He should be stronger.
Sounds fine. I nodded to them. Do whatever you think is best. After leaving them all to their own tasks, Queenie and I followed Zamia and Eliphili into the wilderness beyond the edge of the village, and as I looked around, I realized I had no idea where we were going. While I wasn't worried about predators or anything, especially since Gobta had long ago cleared the immediate area of enemies, I still found myself scanning the sea trees for monsters. Where are we going? I asked, after we'd traveled for several minutes and I hadn't seen anything beyond dense foliage. It all looks pretty much the same.
We'll be there soon enough, Zamia answered me.
I wasn't nervous. I trusted them, but I was curious.
Master asked you a question.
Queenie glared at the Princess of Night.
He's clearly uneasy about whatever this is, and that makes me worry for his safety.
It's okay, Queenie. I smiled at her. If it's a surprise, I'd like to find out about it when they're ready to show me. I looked around curiously. It's more that I've never been to this area, so
I understand your concern for your master, Queenie. But I assure you, he will come to no harm.
Eliphili smiled at Queenie and me.
And we will be there soon. I'm keeping an open mind.
Queenie didn't quite glare at Eliphili, but she also didn't not glare either.
For now. We're not that far off, Zamia said, as we approached a sea tree much larger than the others. We just need to go to the top.
Then, without another word, she began to climb it,
Do we really need to climb it? I asked as I watched Zamiya disappear into the foliage above.
Of course,
Eliphili said as she gestured for me to go ahead of her.
Gotta go up to go down.
Then she winked at me. Go down? I raised an eyebrow at her. Instead of answering, she just smiled sweetly at me, which made me even more curious, so I grabbed onto the handholds I'd seen Zamiya use and made my way to the top. Zamiya was waiting for me at the top when I arrived, perched in what looked like a tree hut thingy that had been built into the branches. As I climbed into the hut and stared out at the ocean, I realized this particular spot of ocean seemed less rough than the waters near the village where we'd been before.
Like what you see? Zamiya asked as she came over to me. Honestly, I think I've reached my limit on oceans for a little while.
I shot her a congenial smile. Where I come from, it's mostly dry land.
I can't even imagine a place like that,
Zamiya replied, as Queenie and Eliphili clambered onto the platform. Unsurprisingly, Queenie had just flown up there rather than climbed, and honestly, I didn't blame her. Well, maybe I'll get to take you there sometime. My words, for some reason, made the princess blush.
I would like that,
Zamiya said, as she walked to the edge of the tree hut.
Just remember, cross your arms and keep your legs in tight. Say, Wetiv Reactor, and aim for the green spot.
What? I asked. But instead of answering, Zamiya jumped high into the air before plummeting into the ocean below. Her pencil dive perfectly hit a green spot in the middle of the water that I hadn't noticed before. A moment later, she'd completely disappeared from view, and I turned to look at her sister.
What was that?
Eliphili went flying off right behind her sister and hit the green spot down below in the water before also vanishing beneath the surf. I looked at Queenie, and she looked quizzically back at me.
Master, that is unusual.
She bit her lip as thoughts twinkled in her multifaceted eyes.
I will go first. After all, we know the water here is often filled with danger, and you cannot be replaced.
I think it will be okay, I said as I stared at the ocean. If the princess can do it, how dangerous could it be? They aren't warriors in their culture, so I doubt there are any evil fish monsters down there.
That is a fair point, Master,
Queenie mused.
But what if it is not safe? It will be better if I go first to scout, and then, if something happens, you can resummon me. As unnecessary as Gobta is sometimes, he is continuously right in reminding us of that fact whenever we encounter some peril.
Normally, I'd agree with you, Queenie. I smiled at the Ant Queen. But I think they know what they are doing. If they can survive it, I'll be fine. I smirked. Besides, it looks kind of fun.
Of course, Master.
She nodded.
Whatever you say is undisputed. I do wish you would be careful, though. I couldn't stand the thought of not being by your side.
Thank you, Queenie. I'll be fine, I assured her. And hey, for what it's worth, I couldn't imagine not having you by my side either. Queenie beamed brightly at me. Stay back here and keep an eye out. I'll be fine. I gave her a kiss on the forehead. I'll see you on the other side, I guess.
Good luck, Master.
The Ant Queen shot me an awkward thumbs up, and for a moment, I wondered where she'd seen that gesture, since she'd never used it before. Thanks. I stood up and balanced carefully on the ledge of the tree hut. This was kind of wild. I'd kind of always wanted to skydive. Interplanetary space travel can be fun as hell, but something about leaping off into empty space seemed freeing to me. Like there was something exciting about just letting go and plunging off. I thought about the words that the princesses had given me and looked for the little green spot to aim for. Man, did it look a lot smaller than it had a minute ago. It looked like I was firing at a shrinking target. I closed my eyes for a moment.
Wetev Reactor.
I held my arms in an X tightly against my chest, like I was on the launch pad about to hurtle into space, and jumped.
Sploosh!
I smashed into the water with reckless abandon, gravity playing out its natural course.
Gurgle! Gurgle!
I kept my eyes closed as water went rushing past me. I felt myself in a sort of tube, like I was on a water slide or something, being shuttled down. Suddenly, I came flying out into a clearing. I felt myself briefly not submerged, and then my ass landed on something semi-hard. It was sturdy enough to have some give, so I wouldn't break anything from the fall, but not soft enough to keep me from feeling like I didn't bruise a few things. When I opened my eyes, I saw the two princesses standing in the underwater sort of cavern lit with iridescent cave moss.
"Well, thanks, gals, for telling me about that fun little ride," I said, as the two girls clambered over to help me.
"Hey, I bet it's your third favorite ride here,"
Zamiya said as she laughed at me. I laughed and then spit out a bunch of water. That took more out of me than I was ever going to let on. I laid back briefly and looked at the cave I was now in. The rock formations above me formed a cozy little dwelling. The stream that I had fallen into was unbelievably beautiful. The water was clear and clean. Like I said, unexploited. "This is a neat little spot." I gestured at it.
"But I thought you said that rock was rare here."
"Sure is." Zamiya smiled at me. "This is a sacred spot, so the rock can't actually be taken from here." She gestured at the wall where the striations were pretty dark. "It would be obvious that it came from our sacred place, because this rock is unique to our family."
"Oh."
I took that in as I looked around.
"Anything in particular that you brought me here for? Or did you just want to share in the view?"
Ella Feli walked over and wrapped her arms around me.
"Let's enjoy each other's company one last time."
"I don't think we have time for that," I laughed.
But she only winked at me and took my arm as Zamiya moved toward the far wall. We followed Zamiya as she walked slowly over to the other side of the rocks. And as I got closer, I realized there were pictures carved into the rock. She traced her hands high up along the rocks and onto a series of engravings.
"We were in here the other day and realized we wanted to show you these,"
Zamiya said with a smile.
"They're old, from long before our great-great-grandfather's time. Those who came long before us, our ancestors' ancestors, are said to have drawn these."
Ella Feli moved next to her sister.
"But we would be curious to hear your thoughts on them."
I looked up at the drawings against the wall. Stars were drawn above a singular figure holding a very familiar-looking sword, and he stood on top of a red circle. It looked to depict a planet, I think. A depiction of a swarm of ants encircled the red planet, with one larger ant above the shoulder of the figure.
Garrett, do you recognize the sword?
Zamiya looked at me intensely. It looks like the one we've seen you use in battle. She pointed to the design on the sword carved there. That is the same design as the one on your weapon, as well as on the new glove you got. She was right, of course. As my eyes turned toward the hand of the Destroyer King I was now wearing, I couldn't help but wonder what was going on, because the symbols did match. Sure, I'd obviously known about the legends of the Destroyer King, and hell, I'd even gotten a piece of gear here. So that was only mildly interesting. No. What was more interesting were the ants. And the bigger ant. And the red planet. Because part of me wondered if maybe, just maybe, that ant was Queenie. And that red planet, could it be Ares? And this is old? I asked the two princesses. Like, you guys aren't playing a trick on me? Very. Zamiya nodded. It is the oldest thing our family possesses. Are there any stories? I asked, as I committed every detail of the cave drawing to memory. You know, about this? No. Eliphili shook her head. Those have been lost generations ago. Right. I pondered it for a moment before pinging Queenie over the link. Have you seen this before? I sent the image to her. No, Master. I felt her shake her head. Should I have? I don't know, I chuckled. I just don't know anything anymore. Master, perhaps you should try imitating the pose with your sword, she offered, and I shrugged. Good idea, I said, as I drew the sword of the Destroyer King. The effect was instantaneous. The sword in my hand began to glow with blue light, as did the one drawn on the wall. And then, for a brief, scintillating second, I saw the sword in my hand as it was meant to be. Not rusted and pitted and dulled, but pristine, with an edge that could slice a planet in two, and thrumming with so much power that sparks leapt off it. Wow, I mumbled as everything returned to normal. Wow, indeed, Zamiya said, as my eyes readjusted to the relative darkness of the cavern. That was amazing. Eliphili turned to look at me. How do you make your sword look like that again?
I guess I need to fix it, I shrugged. I suppose time will tell. And of course, that's when I got a quest prompt.
You have completed a hidden quest, the Destroyer King's Mantle, Part 3. But are you worthy to carry the power of the Destroyer King? Only time will tell.